Hey guys, and thank you for checking out our podcast. Just want to give you a little background first. We have Terrence Wilson here, Shane Rush, and myself, Stephon Wilson. T. Will has some college coaching experience. He's the current head football coach of a high school in Detroit. Shane Rush coaches both football and basketball, and he's a sports director at Joe Dumars Fieldhouse in Shelby Township, Michigan. And I'm a graduate of Laurentian University and received my master's degree at American Public University. And I'm also a head coach at the college level in basketball. Today, we're going to discuss Nick Saban. We're going to discuss, does the Pacers have a chance? And we're going to discuss greatness in the NBA. And finally, which one's tougher, an NBA title or an NFL title to receive? So first, we're going to start with, why is Nick Saban viewed as being so evil? So we'll go to T. Will to start this one off.
Well, thanks, Stephon. First, I just want to say it's a privilege to be on the show and to discuss these topics with you guys. But we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about Nick Saban and why he's hated. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys right now, Nick Saban walks around with this this kind of like this carefreeness about him. Like he knows he's the best because he pretty much is, you know, and that's why he's hated. You know, he expects perfection from his players, his coaching staff, and he doesn't sugarcoat it for the media. You know, he doesn't hold back anything. So he comes off maybe sometimes as a little arrogant, things like that. And people take that and they say, you know what, I kind of don't like this guy because of that. But at the same time, I think that's what makes him that good. You know, he plays a particular style of football. You know, he doesn't run the spread. He doesn't run any gimmicks. He runs a power offense, a pro style offense that's kind of like smash mouth, hit you in the mouth. There's no gimmicks. And defensively, I mean, he gets it done without a ton of blitzing. He's a 30 front guy, 3-4 defense. He doesn't do a ton of blitzing. He holds his guys accountable. Because the thing about Nick Saban is, if you're not getting it done defensively, you can best believe there's another All-American breathing down your back ready to take your spot. So he pretty much going to get it done. You're going to get it done. It's a lot of accountability in this program, you know. So he knows he's better than everyone, and, you know, he doesn't shy away from it. And I think that's where people get the that perception of Nick Saban as being an evil doer out here.
Absolutely. Shane, you want to add to that?
Well, basically, people fear what they don't understand. And they don't understand how – since 2007, the coach has went 68-13 in the toughest conference in football. They don't understand he did it once before at LSU and went 48-16. You know, he wins everywhere he goes. The only place he's had a losing season at was the Miami Dolphins. Every time he's coached at the collegiate level, whether it's Toledo, Michigan State, LSU, Alabama, he has not had a losing season. So people fear that. People fear that.
Absolutely. Well, just to add to that, I personally believe that when people are successful in life, you're going to make some people angry. I mean, you look at Donald Trump, you look at some businessmen, I'm pretty sure their perception of some people, they're not big fans of them, but they're successful. And I think also is when you win a lot, there's no gray area. Either people love you or people hate you. And I think that's where we're getting at. I think his last name is close to Satan, so I think it's a big joke now. But, I mean, he is the best college football coach, and I think you either love what he's doing or you hate him because he's constantly winning. T, you get the last word on this one.
Oh, cool. Thanks. It's a great topic again, Stephon. I just want to say that I think we're looking at it from one side of the coin. You know how, you know, why people think that he's evil. I think if we flip that coin over, there's a lot of people, especially down in Tuscaloosa, that think Nick Saban walks on water. They think he's the greatest thing that happened to college football since a Bear Bryant. And so there is a like you said, when it comes to success and things like that, there are a bunch of people that's going to hate you no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, you know, no matter what sport you're playing. You know, you can be the quarterback, you know, for the Detroit Lions. You could be a Matt Stafford. You're going to be hated. You know, you're going to be loved. But when you're as big as Nick Saban and you don't hide it, you don't shy away from it, you know, you're going to have those people that think you're evil.
Absolutely. He can definitely coach my team. But we're going to move on to the NBA. And see, Rush, we'll start with you. Heat Pacers. I mean, the Pacers have the post players, and that's what everyone perceives as the Heat weakness is. Do you think the Pacers have a chance to actually win the series?
The only way the Pacers have a chance to win the series is if they don't. I can't even figure out a way to make it sound like they would. I mean, when you have the best player on the planet, and people are taking for granted the fact that he's averaging 25 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists in this series. I mean, this is what he's giving you every game. Now, he has a cast of players around him. Chris Bosh is not a role player. Chris Bosh is a perennial all-star. Dwayne Wade, whether he's 30 years old, he's a perennial all-star. He's a threat in this league. He showed that when he went baseline on their rim stopper, Roy Hibbert, yesterday, and he had no answer. You know, I've seen something that I thought I would never see. The Pacers look dejected. They look like they got beat up and their lunch money was taken from them yesterday. Frank Vogel, good coach, but he subbed them out very early to me yesterday. And you could tell by their body language, they walked back like, man, that was our shot. Today was our shot to win the basketball game. Today was our shot to actually make this a series, because now when you give a team who's been to the mountaintop, they failed at the mountaintop and have won at the mountaintop, you give them that look, is pretty much over, in my opinion.
Right, right. Well, before the series started, everyone talked about all the great defenses of Indiana and Miami Heat. But you look at game one, 103-102, granted it went into overtime, 97-93, 114-96 in game three. Where is the defense? Their defense, is it overrated, or is it they know each other well? What's going on?
No, and that goes to something that I'm gonna talk about in one of the future questions. It's when you play a team so many times. When you play a team so many times, you can only do so much in my eyes. You know, in college basketball, when you play a team twice in conference play and then have to play them again the third time in that conference tournament, that's rough. Now you're talking about playing a team maybe two or three times in a regular season and now playing them in a 7-game series. That's potentially playing the same team 10 times. I mean, sometimes the defense is going to be out the window because you know each other, you know, just that well. So, but to get back to your question, Stefano, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with Shane, because the question was, do the Pacers have a chance? And I'm going to say yes, they do have a chance, and for a couple of reasons here. To me, the way that the NBA is nowadays, I think the Pacers, they're pretty much built the way that I would want to build a franchise if I was a GM. You know, they're defensively sound. They have a big man in the post. They have depth. They have shooters. They have a playmaker in Paul George and also Danny Granger, who's out, who's been sidelined for most of the season with the left knee injury. So, to me, they're built the way you want your team to be built. So, do they have a chance? Yes, they do. When I first looked at this series, I said, you know what? The first four games, it'll probably be split the first two, and I still say in Indiana, it'll probably be split again. They may go back to Miami 2-2, and I think the winner of game five will take this series.
Yeah, I have to agree, too. I think they do have a chance, and when you have a 4-5 that in David West and Roy Hibbert, and you got Shane Battier and Chris Bosh guarding them down low, I think you have a chance. But at the same time, I think the Miami Heat will win. I think LeBron James will just be too much for him. But before we move on, C. Rush, we'll give you the last word on this one.
Well, I hear what you all are saying. I mean, they still have to play the basketball game. But at the same time, when you have guys like Deshaun Stevenson making decisions for you at the end of games, you're not going to win basketball games. I mean, at the end of game two, I don't want to say they lucked up, but it was a turnover fest both ways. And I would trust a team who's been there, who knows how to win, with the best player on the planet, who's proven that he can score in any way possible. I mean, do I like David West, Roy Hibbert? Of course. It's hard to find a 4-5 punch tougher than that in the NBA. But also, you have to have a guy that's going to make a decision. Danny Granger is out. Like Terrence said, he's out. We don't know what could have, would have been. You could have said the same thing about Derrick Rose if he played. So I can only go by who's playing right now. And those are the guys that I'm taking to Miami Heat.
Absolutely. Well, let's hope that it's a good series, because as we know, it looks like the San Antonio Spurs is going to end that one early. So, let's move on. Let's talk about this word greatness. That's a word that's thrown around a lot, especially in the NBA. What do you feel, C. Rush, is that greatness should be measured on the NBA? Should it be how many rings you win, or should it be your body of work as one, as a player yourself?
It's it's the combination of both. In my opinion, some great players were just unlucky to never capture a ring. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, never captured a ring. You can't take away from their greatness, but at the same time, I can't say that Robert Horry is the greatest player ever. He has more rings than Kobe, so I can't judge it by that. I like the eyeball test. I like the eyeball test. I know for a fact that Charles Barkley was tough to guard. I know for a fact that Karl Malone was a heck of a player, and you knew what you were going to get out of him. So I can't, at the same time, I can say, well, rings mean everything, but at the same time, it's all up for debate because Bill Russell, who people say may be the greatest player ever, he played in the league when it was only eight teams. I mean, it was eight teams in the NBA. At his last year when he won a ring, the last time he won a ring in 1969, it was 14 teams. So, yeah, he was a great player, arguably, but, you know, when you're playing against only seven other teams and you're that good, you're going to win 11 rings. So,
yeah, I know Bill Russell did get 11 championship rings, but, you know, T. Will, I mean, how do you feel about this issue? I mean, do you think greatness is overused? What is greatness to you?
Well, to me, greatness is a player's body of work. To me, greatness shouldn't be measured on rings. I mean, I think on that player's ability, that's their greatness. And Shane hit on a lot of points that I definitely wanted to hit on. I mean, Bill Russell with those 11 rings, are we going to say he's the best to ever do it? To be honest with you, during his era, I think Wilt Chamberlain was a better player than him, you know, in all actuality, but Bill Russell has more rings to show. You know, so when we talk the ring game, we have to be careful because now are we saying that Steve Kerr is better than Isaiah Thomas? You know what I'm saying? Are we saying that that David Robinson was better than Patrick Ewing? I like Patrick Ewing better. You know, some may argue. You know, are we to say Horace Grant is better than Charles Barkley? Of course not. I don't think so. Is Trent Dilfer a better quarterback than Dan Marino? I don't think any of us would agree on that. But when you look at the rings aspect of it, those guys have more rings sitting at home on their trophy case right now, and they can say, you know what, I've been to the mountaintop not just once but several times. You know, so, I mean, I think rings can add to someone's legacy, but it doesn't really give a true measure of your greatness, you know. So that's where I'm at with that.
Right, I think that winning championships is obviously what you want to do. That's why you play the game. But ultimately, I think sometimes we forget when we're judging and we're giving guys the eye test, we forget about the team aspect of it. You're not going to win a championship by yourself. And I think LeBron James, that's why he went to Miami. Like, you know, a lot of people say that, oh, he went to go play with his homeboys. I don't think so. I think he went there to win a championship because there was no way he was going to do it in Cleveland. They're winning between 55 and 60 games a year, and he's not getting a championship. He's not getting a good draft pick. So his team is really not getting better. So I think it is about winning championships, but my personal thing is I think the word greatness is thrown out too much. Okay, T. Will, we'll give you the last word on this one.
Well, just coming back to the ring situation, there are players that like a Tim Duncan who has a great career and has multiple rings, whose rings coincide with their greatness. You know, it adds to their greatness and it adds to their legacy. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, to me, the best to ever do it. You know, he has rings, you know, six rings. You know, so and to coincide with his greatness. No, he's not the NBA's leading scorer or anything like that. But to me, he was just the best to ever do it. So when you measure greatness, I think everyone's going to have their own list of characteristics, how they measure greatness. So to me, it's a dangerous conversation once you start talking about greatness. I think you should also look at the criteria that everyone's looking at when they use the word, quote unquote, greatness.
Absolutely. Like I said, I agree. I think it's overused, and it's only a handful of great players that are in the game today. So we're going to move on to this is my favorite question. I think it's a great debate. Is it tougher to win an NBA title or NFL title? We'll start with you, C. Rush, on this one.
Wow, both are tough. I mean, you gotta win four straight games. You gotta win four games against a team that you see. But the NFL, you have a 53-man roster. You need all 53 men to produce. is it's more injuries in the NFL in any other sport, and it's so much other stuff going on. I would have to say it's tougher to win an NFL title, and here's why I say that. You need a bit of luck, a bit of toughness, and you got to have stuff fall your way just to get into the playoffs. We've seen teams getting to the playoffs as the sixth seed, like the Giants recently, and you know what? They won it all. You've seen the Baltimore Ravens this past year. They played two road games against the Denver Broncos and also beat the Patriots. You know, it's tough. You have one game to prove yourself. You know, you have to make adjustments at halftime of this game. You have to make adjustments at the end of the third quarter of this game. In the NBA, I can make adjustments going between game one and game two, and game five and game six. Now, is it tough because you play the same team over and over and over? Yes, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, the best team in the NBA is going to win it. You know, well, 8 out of 10. But in the NFL, it's no guarantee. It's no way in the world you could have told me that the Patriots are going to lose that year. They looked unstoppable all year, but football, you got to play the game. You get one game. You get 60 minutes to play that game out. And a call can blow it all. A dominant player can take over a series in the NBA. A dominant quarterback cannot win it for you by himself. You know, you need guys. You need the other 10 guys to play. And you also need the other 11 guys on defense to play. You can't play defense in football. You can only play offense. So I believe it's tougher to win the NFL.
T. Will, I think C. Rush hit some good points there, is because, I mean, we give a lot of pressure to the quarterbacks. I mean, we say, hey, you know, Tony Romo, you need to get it done. You know, Rodgers, you need to get it done. And no one really talks about their defense. So, I mean, what do you think is the toughest one to do, to the NBA title or the NFL title?
I had to toss this one up a few times and really think about it. But I'm going to have to lean towards the NBA. And the reason I lean towards the NBA is because, for one, in the NFL, you can get hot. You know, you can get hot at the right time. You can make that run, and you can go get a ring. And I'm not saying it's easy by any stretch of the imagination, okay? But also, what I'm saying is, in the NBA, you have to win 16 games to win the NBA championship, okay? Out of a 7-game series, all of those series, you can play a possible 28 games, you know, out of all those series in the NBA playoffs to have to win. Now, my thing is this: after playing the regular season, after going back to the drawing board, after each game, game in and game out, game planning and scouting, it comes to a point where you just got to go out there and play basketball. You know, so, I mean, there have been plenty of series where we've had upsets, lower-ranked seeds in the NBA beating a higher-ranked seed and things like that. But I just think I think it's a little bit more pressure on NFL quarterbacks because, like Shane said, you know, you get one shot to get it done. You don't get it done, you know, you're pretty much out. Your team is gone, and now you have to hear about it the whole offseason. So, yes, you don't have that window of time to get it done in the NFL, but I just think as far as strategizing and just a game of competition, I'm gonna say the NBA, but I think both are tough tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, any level, it's tough to win a state title in high school. But I mean, I would have to say the NFL, and there's a lot of reasons why you can pick either side. But the reason why I picked the NFL is simple: if you have a bad game, you're at home, and you're talked about all, especially if you're a quarterback, you're talked about all offseason how you choked, how you didn't get it done, how you're not a good leader, and you're not an elite quarterback. And I just really do believe, you go back to game two of the Pacers and Heat, LeBron James, two crucial turnovers, okay? It doesn't matter. You know, he can rebound from that. You know, last 2 minutes of a game, if a quarterback throws those interceptions, if a running back fumble, you're going home. And you're getting talked about all offseason. But like I said, either they're both tough. But I think because of that pressure of the one-and-done situation, I think it's tougher. And one more example I will use is, I don't think there's not one player in the NFL that you can put on another team and say they're the overwhelming favorite. You know, if you put LeBron James on the Heat, we all went, they should win the NBA title. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that you can just insert one player on one team and say they're the overwhelming favorite. I just don't believe that. But see, Rush, we'll give you the last word on this one.
Yeah, and it, granted, it's very tough to win the NBA championship, just like it is the NFL championship, but teams go on runs. People knew when Shaq and Kobe played together in their prime, they knocked up three in a row. People knew that Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, when they're together, they've won three together. People knew that the Heat were going to win a championship. You know, we come into the season knowing which teams are going to be in the finals, and we're not always accurate, but 9 times out of 10, we can nail it down. We knew the Lakers were going to be there a couple of years ago, 2 years in a row. But NFL, if Peyton Manning goes down tomorrow, who knows? If Peyton Manning goes down week 15, we don't know. You know, so it's just much tougher to gauge in the NFL because it's always the unknown. Yeah, marquee players go down in the NBA, but it's also easier to win without your marquee player in the NBA than it is the NFL, especially at certain positions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I got to be honest with you guys. I hope you had as much fun as I did. For T-Will, for C-Rush, I'm Stephon. Till next time, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Representing 7 Mile as always. Have a good night.